election day. We're not talking about politics on this podcast, but I'm staring at the real-time CNN projection.
Yeah, we can
live
see
CNN coverage.
We have a very good view of a TV from where we are sitting, yeah. So we're... You know how it is. We are coming to you, not live, because by the time they hear this, we'll...
I mean, we might be someday. I'd love to do, like, a podcast live and then have it available for download later.
I would, too.
That'd be pretty cool.
But, like, as of right now...
But as of right now, we are a small podcast.
And by the time you guys hear this, the results will be known, but, like, we're, like, watching and podcasting at the same time. It's
so, like, I might start crying.
Yeah,
it's a very weird experience.
I will say that if Miyazaki-san... you know, ends up winning the presidency, that I will get out of my seat and start cheering. I wrote him in, so, you know,
okay.
He has a good chance to win.
But yeah, I don't want to get into politics, because by the time this is published, it'll be too late.
Yeah, it'll be too late, and then we'll know our fate. Whether or not the world will turn into Dark Souls for real.
Greg, you've been practicing.
Yes, I've been practicing my whole life for this. If tomorrow, everyone was infected with the curse... I'd be good. Yeah,
as it were.
Yeah, I've already got good. I don't need to get it. I'll teach you kids how to get it though. Just stand behind me.
Thanks, Papa Greg.
No problem.
But yeah, so I'm Deanna. I'm here with two guests today, Greg and Kennedy.
Yo.
Hello, friends. I haven't been here in a while.
Yeah, and Greg took a week off.
Yeah. You know how it is. You run out of stuff to talk about, but for some reason, during the 2 weeks I haven't been on the podcast, I played so much shit. Usually it's like, because I did like 4 weeks in a row, and like, I played like nothing that whole time. And then just during this like 1 week break, I played about like four different games.
So Greg, what'd you play? I played WoW.
I played WoW.
I played Animal Crossing.
I finally beat Dual Destinies, and... I won't spoil it for anybody who hasn't played it yet, but I will say that Bobby Fulbright was my favorite character from the start, yeah. And by the end, I was sobbing.
Bobby Fulbright.
Bobby Fulbright, certified best boy, defender of justice, and I love him. No matter what happened in the last case, I love him. And I finally started Spirit of Justice, and I have really mixed feelings about it so far. Like,
so Spirit of Justice, like the most recent one, or is the
yeah, it's the most recent one. It came out a few months ago, and like the whole shtick of it is that Phoenix is traveling to this foreign country, Kurain, to meet up with his old assistant Maya Fey, aka Waifu, and he goes to Kurain, and he discovers that their legal system is completely ass backwards. Like, literally, they have a priestess who will, like, do a little divination ceremony, and it'll show you, like, the last memories of the dead, and based on that, they're like, well, we saw that guy's face, so clearly he did it. And so Phoenix, you know, he comes in.
He's just like,
his tour guide is charged with murder. His tour guide, by the way, is, like, a little 10-year-old boy. And he's just like... You know, in a Phoenix Wright matter, he's just like, that's a bunch of bullshit.
You know, and he's just... reason not to have kids. It's because your 10-year-old tour guide could be a fucking murderer.
Exactly. And so he spends the time just shitting on their legal system.
Great.
And this country really hates lawyers. Like, really hates lawyers because they're like, you know... Like, they love prosecutors.
As opposed to, like, any other country?
Well, no. Like, they especially hate them. Like, they have this thing, this law. I can't remember what it's called. But it's like, basically, if you defend... a person, like, because they love prosecutors. They think they're, like, perfect beings. But they have this law where if you are defending someone in court, like, even after the divination ceremony said they were guilty, if you defend them, you will get the same sentence as them. I have a feeling, because I'm not too far in the game yet. I'm only in the second case. Mm-hmm. So I have a feeling that, like, the later I get, like, I'll probably... You know, there's probably going to be, like, a revealed, like, reason, like, a really good reason about why this country hates lawyers so much.
So game over is actually going to be game over. So
yeah.
Like, you lost the case. You're dead.
Yeah, literally. But as of right now, I don't know why they hate lawyers so much. But, like, in the first case, there's this part where they're, like, shouting at the judge to give Phoenix the death penalty just for being a lawyer. But,
That's like the opposite.
All that aside, though, it's a really interesting game, like, story-wise, but, like, I don't know how I feel about the divination ceremony process, like, in terms of gameplay, like, in terms of pointing out the contradictions. It's just a really weird menu system, mm-hmm. and it's just, it's taken me a lot of getting used to. But it's good other than that. Like, the story is definitely good, and Maya's there, so I love Maya. That makes me happy.
Yeah, I've never actually played a Phoenix Wright game.
You want to fix that? You guys want to fix that? I have them all. I have all of them.
Which one do you recommend we start with?
I recommend you start with one, but it's not necessary. If you really want to, the Phoenix Wright anime that came out a few months ago and actually finished very recently is a very good summary of the first two games.
Okay.
I'd still recommend playing the games over the anime, but like if you just absolutely couldn't get your hands on the first two, which you absolutely could because I have them both. But,
let's say you ain't got time.
Duly noted.
I would suggest going in order, but if something happens and you can't play the first one, or, like, you have to skip any of them, really, they do a pretty good job of summing it up, and, like, in the first case, they'll always be like, huh, should I remind the judge how to do this, and you can select whether or not you want to basically have a tutorial, so it's very friendly toward people just hopping in.
Yeah.
Ace Attorney is a great series, and everyone should play it. Please.
Have you been playing anything else this week?
This week?
Since the last time you've been on the podcast.
I haven't been on the podcast in a long ass time. Lots of Tokyo Mirage sessions.
So what exactly is it about that game that...
Anime.
That's it?
That's
honestly, yeah. Okay. You ever just think, wow, Japan. Okay, so like... It's, you know, the game, its thing is that it's a crossover between Shin Megami Tensei and Fire Emblem, and by Shin Megami Tensei and Fire Emblem, what they actually mean is all the weebisms of Persona 4 and Fire Emblem Awakening. So, you know, waifus for days, and it has a lot of the same gameplay elements as the Persona series, and it has the same weapons triangle and shit as Fire Emblem. I am JRPG garbage, I'm anime garbage, so I think this game is great so far. To my knowledge, I'm about half or a third way through. My only big problem with it is that you can't adjust the difficulty, and it's been, like, really, really easy so far. Like, I can breeze through battles effortlessly, and I just think that's so weird, because Shin Megami Tensei games are, like,
they're hard.
Yeah! If you have beaten a Shin Megami Tensei game, like, the Persona ones, I think, are... the easier of the bunch, but even then, like, Persona 3, like, Nyx, that'll put you through some shit, but, like, if you've beaten the Shin Megami Tensei game, you've succeeded, and this, I feel like I'm just mashing the same attacks, like, it's really, I don't want to say it's completely effortless, but, like, I don't feel like I'm playing a Shin Megami Tensei game.
Yeah, they took the difficulty from Awakening, which is literally stack your people
in the press attack.
Which is literally
none.
The whole time.
Yeah.
Literally, there wasn't a single thought that everyone crossed my mind playing Fire Emblem Awakening. Mm. I literally just, like, hit the attack, and then the enemy went away.
Yes. So, if, like, if I could adjust the difficulty and make it a little... Just a little more difficult.
You want to make a single decision. You know, decisions are nice.
Yeah, right? But other than that, it's pretty great. Again, I'm anime trash, I'm JRPG trash, I'm Persona trash. So, like, I think it's great.
You know what's not anime trash?
Dark Souls?
Owlboy.
Owlboy.
I want to play Owlboy
so bad.
It's weird for me to talk about because, like, I'm a big bitch when it comes to spoilers. So it's like I take almost anything and I think of it like it could be a spoiler. So I'm not going to say too much about this game.
Okay, thank you.
But
I want to play this game.
Yeah,
this is
like,
one of the few that has come out this year that I'm like, I genuinely do not want to be spoiled.
Yeah, but it's like, because there's lots of times where it's like, oh, I didn't say what was going to happen in the story, but, like, there's certain things, like, you say if a game, like, oh, the ending is garbage, or, like, it really falls apart towards the end, like, or something like that, then, like, when you're playing the game, even if you don't know exactly what's going to happen, it's in the back of your mind, you're going to be thinking that.
That's how I felt with Inside.
Yeah, so it's like, I didn't want to go into that so much as to say that, so all I'm really gonna say about this game is that the pixel art is like the best I've probably ever seen. it's one of the most beautiful games I've ever played in my entire life. The soundtrack is pretty good, it gets the job done. I've heard people like give it like insanely high praise, but it's good. I wouldn't like buy the soundtrack or like listen to it in my free time.
Okay.
And there are some genuinely, like, beautiful and heart-wrenching moments in this game that make it worth it. And even though, like, no, I loved it. It was a really good game. I do have some complaints about it, but they kind of head on that spoiler type thing I was talking about before. Yeah. So I'm not going to really talk about it too much. But I do believe that if you're a fan of like platformers, which is like action platformers, then I 100% recommend this game.
Here's a question: how long is it? How long did it take you to beat it?
It took me like 6 hours, maybe a little less than that.
Oh, okay. That's not, you know, honestly, like, that's about, I think, the average this year. For like, I've noticed a lot of games, like a lot of indie games in particular, are hovering around that 5 to 10 hour mark this year. Like, Oxenfree was like 5. Yeah. Hyper Light Drifter, 7.
Yeah.
7 or 8. I don't remember, but it was somewhere around there.
I need to get back to both of those games.
I might have actually been shorter than 6. I remember. I think I put about, because like after I completed the game, I explored and to see if I could find any more secrets and stuff like that. Yeah. So it might be like closer to like 5.
Well, no,
6 hours.
I do the same thing when I play games like that. So
I usually don't. That was the sign of how much I like the game, that I actually finished it and then I went back and started exploring again. The controls in this, I don't even know how I got this far without talking about the fucking controls. The controls in this game are fucking insane. Like, for a game...
Insane good?
Insane good.
Okay.
Like, for a game where you're flying around and you're, like, moving in, like, all... any direction. You can move up, down, left, right, all the fucking angles in between.
Mm-hmm.
It's so clean. I don't know how the fuck they did it, but I've never felt so in control in a game like this before. And it's really weird. And I don't know how the fuck they did it. There were a couple of times...
Well, I mean,
you
worked on the game for like 8 years at home.
Yeah. but I get... That's news. Yeah, maybe that's... Yeah, it was like... It might have been close. It might be like 9. It might have been easier.
I heard 8 a lot, so I'm saying...
I've heard 10 a lot, actually.
It took... Long story short, it took...
It's like a long-ass time.
Rounded up to a decade working on this game. And yeah. Was it a solo project?
I don't think so. In the credits there were, it wasn't a long credits, but it was...
The few people.
Yeah.
Okay, so
and
very,
was
so
a whole, then there's a whole lot of, like, in memory of, so...
Oh, God.
Oh, my God.
Oh, God.
This,
I thought this game was fun! I thought it was happy!
It's everything. It's like life, you know? It's got ups, it's got downs.
Have a lot of anxiety because that's what's going on in my life for this past several years.
Oh no, there's a lot of. I mean, maybe you know, there's of course. I mean, it's life, like I said, you know, all the ups and downs, all the emotions, happiness, sadness, joy, love. Mm-hmm. It's all in there, and it's in a tight little package, and it's fucking brilliant.
It's in a tight little package that you can purchase for like what, $10 on Steam?
It's
how much is it on Steam?
It's actually $25.
Oh.
Yeah, it's $25.
And that's why I haven't played it yet.
Yeah, I got it when it was on sale. That's why, you know, I didn't want to talk about how long the game was. Because like, I'm usually not the guy who, I coined the dopeness per hour thing, which I care more about how amazing your game is than I do how much I paid for and how much hours I get out of it. But I do know for a lot of people that they really do care how many hours they get out of it. But this game is definitely good enough. It's better than most $60 games I've played.
Yeah.
But it is a bit on the short side.
Yeah. No, I know what you mean. Like, being a fan of Silent Hill is a very similar thing. Because, like, you know, Silent Hill 2 and 3, best Silent Hill games in the series, inarguable.
I love it.
Opinion. Everybody else's opinion doesn't matter. But I digress. 2 and 3, generally regarded as the best, in my opinion, they're certainly the best. They're like, I think 2 is like 8 hours, maybe. And I know 3 just like barely hits 10. And even if you play these to like absolute completionist, like 100%, which I almost did with Silent Hill 2 once. I didn't quite get everything, but I got really close to my understanding. Like, you're barely touching like 15 hours on each. Barely. And yet, if you... You know, I'm assuming you don't want the HD collection because the HD collection's absolute bullshit.
Dumpster fire.
Yeah.
Dumpster fire.
But like, you know, if you are playing these games the right way on the PS2, you're dropping like $30 or $40 each on them for like less than 10 hours of entertainment.
Yeah.
But they're so good.
Yeah.
That I recommend them anyway, and they're really good.
It's been really weird with the whole like value proposition thing, because like for the longest time games have been $60, and like the value of say a dollar has shifted greatly.
Now see, you want to know a very weird thing. So I got my PS3 which I will talk about more later in this podcast.
I almost cried for you.
I'll explain everything later. Stay tuned. So I got my PS3, like, I think halfway into its lifespan. So I wasn't completely late. You know, games were still coming out. Yeah. But, you know,
especially on
by the time I got it, you know, there was already a pretty decent library. But up until then, you know, I wasn't really paying much attention to the PS3 because I was still perfectly content with my PS2. The PS2, to this day, my favorite game console of all time. So, you know, I was still playing a lot of games that I had missed on the PS2. And, you know, PS2 games, when they were brand new, like, an expensive new release on the PS2 was like $40. But like by the time, you know, this was going on when the PS3 was out and definitely like halfway into its life cycle, you know, I was getting PS2 games for like 10 to 20 bucks a pop.
Yeah.
So when I got the PS3 and I started buying games for it, like seeing, like, you know, I was kind of in that mindset that, yeah, games are $20 to $30, maybe $40 if it's like a triple A, like, really good release. And then, like, I go to GameStop and I'm seeing like these $60 price tags. I was like vomiting blood. I was like, what happened? When the fuck did this it really like hit me out of nowhere. And then I was told by like all my friends, they were like, yeah, this is, where have you been the last couple of years? And I was like, on the PS2.
Yeah,
I've been on the PS2
because it's really like, because like the gaming, like, journalism, like, gaming journalism as a whole just, like, completely, like, shits on, like, microtransactions and stuff like that. But if you think about it, games have been 60 for a long time, and, like, say, like, the dollar, for example, has gone down than it has it as what it used to be. And game budgets are, like, fucking, like, 10 times what they used to be.
Oh, absolutely.
So they're getting the same amount per copy. And sure, the industry as a whole has grown, so they're selling more copies than, say, they used to. But, like, you, like, they're kind of being stretched thin a bit. That's why you can tell, like, the booklets, like, the games pretty much don't have booklets anymore. The cases are now, like, made of thin, bare-bones plastics and stuff. It's just, like, I don't know. It's always been hard for me to, like, shit on some of these decisions sometimes. Because it's, like, there's always, like, these, like, small moves made by developers I love that I'm, like, damn, I wish you didn't do that. But at the same time, I'm, like, games should be more expensive. But also at the same time, I'm like, I don't know if I want to pay 25 bucks for Owlboy. And like, I'm like, and I'm sitting here like, 25 bucks is too much for a brilliant game.
Well, I mean,
and at the same time, I'm like, $60 ain't even enough for these guys. Money's hard.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, if Owlboy, like, based on what I'm hearing like about Owlboy, if I had $25 at my disposal, I would strongly consider. Yeah, I'm not saying I definitely would, but I'm not saying I definitely wouldn't. But yeah. I would definitely really consider it. At the very least, I might, like, give it, like, a month or two, like, maybe to go on, like, a Christmas sale.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. But I'm a broke college student. I am the brokest of college students, so fuck that. I'll Steam share off of you guys.
Yep.
Yes. If I care.
Speaking
of my PS3
yep.
earlier, right. I think...
Enlighten us.
Okay.
Enlighten our listeners.
Listeners, my dearest listeners, sit down. Get some popcorn, get comfy, get cozy. I have a tale to share with you for today. Today has been...
It's Christmas season. Grab some eggnog.
Oh, yeah. Today has been the worst day ever for me in recent memory. And I want to share with you guys what my day has been. So, like I said earlier, I'm in college. And this morning was class registration. I had to register like an hour later from everyone else because they randomly decide who does that. Which, you know, had me a little angry, but... And I couldn't register for two of my classes, but, you know, that doesn't ruin your day, but it just, you know, by the time I got to school, you know, I was kind of in a grumpy mood.
Yeah, you know, average day at Suffolk.
You
your
know,
classes
average,
don't work.
You yeah, know. Your classes don't work, and nothing you want is offered. You know, it's your typical day at Suffolk. But, you know, I get here, and I'm in just, you know, a bitter mood. I'm not happy. And then I'm sitting down in our humble little video game lounge. And I get a call from my sister. Now, my sister, she's 2 years younger than me. And she lives in an apartment in Oklahoma City, where I'm from, with a friend of hers and her on-again, off-again boyfriend of about 2 years, who is a drug dealer. I'm not going to name drop. But he's a very shitty guy, and nobody likes him. And my dad doesn't want to say, like, because my dad, up till now, like, he always tells her, like, Katie, like, he stole your fucking car once, like... I just named her my sister. It's a common name. I don't care. Katie's a common name. I don't care. But, you know, he always tells her, like, don't fucking do that. You know, he's a stupid fucking guy. He stole your car. And she's like, yeah, well. So this time my dad's saying nothing and hoping that if she doesn't think she's being edgy, Yeah. You know, but anyway, so I digress.
It's times like this where I realize I couldn't be a father. Mm-hmm. Because, the amount of rage I would have in your father's...
Oh, no. Oh, make no mistake. My dad is full of rage. This guy is not, like... My dad openly says, like, he's not allowed to come into the house. Or, like, up until now. Because, like, now he's thinking, you know, maybe they've been on and again, off again. Because she thinks that, like, oh, well, maybe she only wants to be with him to be edgy.
Okay.
So, yeah. So this time he's going to see what happens if he just... does and says nothing. Maybe she'll stop thinking it's edgy. And I digress. I get a call from her. She doesn't call me very much. Like, hardly at all. I think the only time we've talked to each other since the semester started was when I had to call her to get the Hulu password.
Priorities?
Yeah. And,
that's so
and she's
boring.
Like, hey, Kennedy, let's say I hypothetically had a PS3, and, you know, at this point my stomach's already dropping. I see where this is going. And it was hypothetically freezing up at the startup screen. What would I do? And
hypothetically.
And you know, she's dropping all these hypotheticals, and I'm just like, so,
did you just finish watching a Disney's Channel sitcom?
Yeah, legit. And I'm just like, so.
Yeah, for a friend.
And I was like, so, by hypothetically, you mean you have a PS3? And she's like, yeah. And I'm like, is it my PS3? And she's like, yeah. And. It turns out she's been using it as a Netflix, because she doesn't play games.
Yeah.
She's been using it as a Netflix machine, and apparently she leaves it on at night, every night, and she, like, doesn't turn it on, and she's just been abusing it. And I told her, you know, well, don't call me, call Google, call GameStop, call someone else, I'm too angry, and also I have class soon, and I can't deal with this, and if we need to get it repaired, you're covering the repair costs, because, you know, frankly, you should not have stolen my PS3, and, you know, I was also kind of mad at my dad, because, like, I had put it and my PS2 in a box that I had wrapped up, and I told him explicitly, like, this was the only box that I had, like, wrapped and taped up, and I was like, hey, don't let anybody fucking touch these are where my game consoles are, and he's like, yeah, totally, I called my dad later and found out that she must have just completely went under his nose and took it. So, I'm in a very foul mood at this point. My PS3 is broken. Dan thinks he knows he might know a way to fix it. Yeah. We spent some time looking into it, and I told Katie to just not fucking touch it until I'm back.
Yeah.
To just bring it back home. Don't fucking touch it, and I'll mess with it when I'm home, and if it costs anything to repair it, she's covering it. So then, I get an email from my landlord, and... say, because, you know, today hasn't been bad enough, saying that there, like, a pipe burst in the basement of our apartment building. Uh-huh. The entire basement was flooded, and parts of the first floor were flooding also. Guess who lives on the first floor, motherfuckers?
It's your girl.
It's your girl. It's, as Greg says, it's your girl.
Yep.
Did I say
your
it right?
Girl.
Yes, yes.
It's your girl.
Kennedy.
Y-A space G-U-R-L.
Yeah, girl. So I do not know the extent to how bad the flooding is.
Oh,
I don't have much.
Oh, no. Okay. I've been in your apartment. Like, your mattress is on the floor.
Yeah, so the mattress, honestly, my mattress and that little futon I use as a seat are the only things that are really, like, on the floor that I'm worried about. But that said, you ever had to replace a mattress when you're a broke-ass college student? It ain't fun. So I'm going to find out about it because... like, in the email, it said, straight up, if you live in the basement, you need to find somewhere else to stay for the next few days. And, like, they also said in the email, like, you know, talk to us about the insurance, about everything. We'll, you know, we'll figure it out. We'll get all the legal bullshit out of the way. Just come to the office. And on the first floor, it just said, like, you know, there's also a little bit on the first floor. So I'm hoping that because it didn't say, like, you know, we need to get out or, like, anything about replacing, I'm hoping that that just means, like...
yeah, they had to put a bucket up.
Like, maybe a bucket or, like,
well,
maybe
not like a bucket because it's not coming from the second.
That's true. But you know what I mean? You know, maybe it just means, like, there's a few small puddles.
Yeah.
You know, maybe, like, around the stairs, maybe there's, like...
yeah, because, like, there's the entryway,
and
you have to take a couple stairs up. So maybe it's just in that entry
area. Yeah, so maybe it's just in that little entry area. Maybe there's just, like, a thin puddle by the stairs.
Because your apartment doesn't slope down, either.
It doesn't. So I'm hoping that that's what it means.
Stay optimistic.
And I haven't heard anything from my roommates, who, granted, also don't talk to me anyway, but I feel like
you know,
if we had...
like, your shit was all soggy.
You know yeah,
they,
I feel like...
like, hey, your shit's soggy.
I feel like I'd get a Facebook message saying, like, hey, do you have a spare mattress? And then after that, I call my dad to tell him, you know, like, shit. Well, first of all, I'm also telling him, you know, what Katie did to the PS3. And then I'm telling him about the flooding, and he's like, well, have I got the cherry on top for you, kiddo.
Oh, no.
My grandma has not been feeling well very recently, and, like, my dad, he's a registered nurse. He's been kind of going over there a couple days a week, and she's really weak. And my grandma, like, she's unkillable. She's had a stroke, she's been run over by a car, she's been stabbed, what? She's been shot.
Excuse me?
She has been beaten senseless with a crowbar. Like, she can, and she can still walk by herself, like, without a cane. She's fucking unkillable.
How fucking old is she?
She's in, like, her 70s.
Okay.
She's fucking unkillable, man.
Yep.
She's unkillable. You cannot kill my grandma. But, you know, she hasn't been feeling very well lately, and, you know, my dad went over there these last couple days, and he was telling me, like, you know, I almost want to take her to the hospital, because she's just getting progressively worse, and I just, you know, at her age, you know, it could be a cold, or it could be
something a lot more
fucking
serious.
Cancer, yeah, you know, it's like, at her age, especially with all the health Apparently. Issues you can imagine she has.
Yeah, from being attacked, I guess?
Oh, a lot. like I said, I think the highlights of the unkillableness of my grandma is she has been beaten senseless by a crowbar. She has been stabbed. She has been shot. She has been run over by a car. Not hit by a car. Run over completely. And she had a stroke. And stroke is a funny thing, though. She had it in the doctor's office, like, during a checkup. And it was a doctor's office right across the street from a hospital, so it's like...
It's like, you're good. Like, yeah, you literally could not have had a stroke in a better place.
Right, like, there's no good place to have a stroke, but at the same time, if you know this you're going to have a stroke, and you can pick where, like, that's...
pick where you're going to have a spot.
Yeah, you're just, like, in the hospital bed. It's like, all right.
I know I've tried not to say this on the podcast, so that's going to be the fucking title.
No, please. Absolutely. I encourage it.
If you could pick where to have a stroke.
If you could pick where to have a stroke, have it in the doctor's office while you're having a checkup right across the street from a hospital where your son, who is a registered nurse, is currently working. So
yeah, they're gonna get you one of those beds real quick.
Yeah. And so he tells me that, and that's been my fucking day, and that's all on top of the typical election stress that is natural of today. We're not gonna go into depth on that, but it's just, my God, it has been one hell of a day.
Yeah.
A moment of silence for my PS3. Oh, okay, silence is over.
Oh, well, I don't think there was any silence. So let's try it now.
Okay. All
right. You had a bad day.
I had a horrible
day. I had a bad day. I came in the VGA room, and I kicked the wall, and then I hurt my toe for a little bit.
Oh, damn. I got shit on you.
Due to other things surrounding my life right now, and the election, and the fact that I'm applying for another job. Same one you guys know about.
Yeah.
I've been having an anxiety attack literally all day.
I feel it.
I don't know. I don't find the election all that stressful. It's like, sure, it's probably gonna make my life worse if things head in certain ways, but it's like,
I'm like already planning my escape route to Canada.
It's just like, I don't know.
I mean, I don't think I'm as stressed about it as other people, but like, I'm definitely foreseeing a few things that I just, you know, it makes you uncomfortable.
Yeah. I probably won't escape to Canada because I'm a lazy shit.
Yeah, it's also expensive, probably.
Yeah, it's $400 to get residency.
That's not bad.
Yeah.
Is that 400 Canadian dollars?
No, it's 400 American okay. dollars. Hey. In Canada, things cost a little bit more.
I mean, there's a lot of people right now threatening to move to Canada, but I feel like
I've
this
been, happened. I've been saying that for like a years. Year and a half.
Well, yeah. You know what I mean? No,
that was mine before the internet stole it. Like, yeah, I'm a right? hipster.
Yeah, but like, you know, I feel like this happens every election.
Yeah,
like every.
I know what
really does, but like,
last
it's not
time wasn't so bad. Last time wasn't so bad. I was like, oh, this guy's kind of weird. I don't know if I want to be my president.
The only bad thing that Mitt Romney did was like he didn't run our state really well as governor.
Well, he did a lot of.
Right.
He did like some good things, but like I was too young to see it.
Well,
and then like the only impression that I had of him was him ironing his shirt while it was still on him. I was like, I'm not gonna let this fucking idiot in the White House.
Can we? Like, I remember back then, I was like, I don't want this guy being my president because I don't like the way he talks. Like it was like little shit like that. I was like, he sounds kind of stupid. Like he does. Like he's almost like an airhead kind of.
Well,
like,
he absolutely is, because the thing with Romney during the time when, you know, this was the first election that I got to vote in, so like I paid so much hardcore attention to what was going on.
Oh, this was the first election?
No, 2012. The Romney one.
Okay, 2012.
Was... Like I had just turned 18. So like I was pumped.
Yeah.
I was pumped.
Actually, I was really pumped to vote too when I turned 18. Yeah.
And but like Romney's problem was that he suffered from what people called Romnesia, in that he would constantly, and I mean constantly, contradict himself in debates and interviews. And it wouldn't be like I know like a lot of people are saying Hillary Clinton is being very hypocritical because, you know, it wasn't until like what, 2 or 3 years ago that she supported LGBTQ rights, and that, you know, it's being really hypocritical. And, you know, on the other
hand,
that could
just be like, you know, genuinely changing your...
Yeah, exactly. But
I mean, it's kind of hard to...
It's kind of hard to get.
Yeah, it's hard to tell.
It's hard to gauge because she has also publicly admitted that her public opinion and her private opinion are two different things.
Yes.
But I digress. You know...
I feel like it's the same with everyone.
Yeah. But, you know, you get the idea. There's a lot of people calling her, you know, a hypocrite for saying one thing a few years ago and another now, because, again, God forbid you change your mind.
Yeah.
But Romney, he was this on steroids. Like, there was... I think it was like the second or third debate. Like, he would say one thing, and then like 20 minutes later, he would say something like that completely contradicted it. And like, Obama would be like, "Bitch, you just said 20 minutes ago. Like, legit, it would be like you put a green crayon in front of him. Like, there's a green crayon on one side and a blue one on the other. And Romney would point to them and be like, "That one's green. That one's blue. I like the green one better because fuck Democrats. I'm a Republican." And then you'd ask him 2 minutes later, "Hey, Romney, what colors are the crayons?" And he'd be like, "Orange and maroon." Like, he couldn't keep his shit together in debates, would constantly contradict himself, would constantly just go on these tangents completely unrelated to I mean, that's debates in general, but you know what I mean? It would be...
Yeah, but, like, at the end of the day, like, he seemed like an alright dude, you know?
Yeah.
He seemed like an alright dude, except for the fact
like
that he has right fucking there. Dementia.
I mean, dementia doesn't make you a bad person.
Like,
it makes you a bit worse. You know, you're less good at things you need to do.
But when you're a president of the United States like that...
Oh, yeah,
like,
I agree. I voted for Obama.
To the extent he was doing it, it'd be like him signing a bill 1 minute, and then like 20 seconds later, he'd look at his assistant and be like, Did I sign a bill on this thing?
Yeah, but it's
did
like...
I want to take it back. Well, did
side
I sign
note.
It? Actually, no, I want to sign it again. And
side note, I would actually like to call this episode "If You Could Pick Where to Have Romnesia." I think that's our winner.
I like it.
But it's like I learned very recently that, like, or just through living life, that I'm incapable of hating stupid people. I hate, like, mean people. People who have, like... who do bad things. If you're stupid and, like, that makes you, like, unfit or you're, like, incapable, like, yeah, you might be annoying, but, like, I can't hate you. That's kind of... I almost, like... It's kind of weird because I'm, like, 8 years old and I don't know shit about the world yet. But it's, like... It's, like, when I saw Romney, I was, like, I almost kind of looked down on him a little bit. And I'm like, that shouldn't be how I feel about the president. That was literally, that was the only reason I voted for Obama. I was like, this guy seems like he'd be my dad or something. Like, that was
and
it.
Then he was for
and then
years.
He was.
Oh, man. I miss him already. Speaking of which, as I'm glancing over the TV, I'm seeing our state's results. Our state voted Democratic.
Surprise.
Surprise, yeah. Surprise. We're in the East Coast. Which
we're Northeast.
Liberal town,
liberal
USA.
City.
But
liberal city where the blues are blue and the reds are not here.
I mean, they're here. They're in West
Massachusetts. You say so? Say so?
Are
disclaimer.
You a Republican?
No. I was making a joke because I'm a redhead.
Yeah, I know.
Disclaimer, I'm not Republican. I'm registered as independent.
Yeah, me too.
Everyone should be independent.
Everyone
the party
should be independent.
System.
Yeah.
Anyways.
But then now it's not...
Like I was saying...
Yep, I'm not going to get
so
into
So I've
it.
Been playing...
So
yeah,
Tokyo Mirage Sessions is pretty great.
So
we're
I've
in
been playing
minutes,
more games.
So yeah, go over your game quickly. I won't get into my drama about life.
Games! Alright.
I don't
won't speak
moves.
Everything. Oh, perfect then.
Yeah.
Alright, so what I've been playing,
I'll give a quick update on my life, I guess.
Sure, you can go first.
You can go first.
You don't want... Okay, that's fine. I'll go first.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay, so I've been playing... me and my bunch of friends got... Because during the Halloween sale, they sold spoopy games on Steam for 30 to 70% off.
Thought you were going to say $30 to $70, and I was going to vomit.
Like, oh, that is scary.
I was going to vomit. Yeah. Like, whoa, that's true fear.
It was a spoopy. And so me and my friends, we bought Warhammer End Times Vermintide.
Yeah.
Which is also, it's pretty much Left 4 Dead, but with the focus on melee combat. Also known as Left 4 Dead, but way fucking better.
You know, that's... You've said like one sentence about it, but it already sounds better.
So it's like... So instead of fighting zombies, what you fight are rat people. And
it's bad rats.
It's so
bad rats?
We joking,
it's bad rats on steroids.
We jokingly refer to it as bad rats. We jokingly refer to it as bad rats all the time. So you're fighting swarms of rats, and they crawl up from the ground, from the walls and shit.
Rodents of unusual size.
Yes. Oh, God. Anyways, so it's really good. Like, so you
the
have...
The way you said that, like, it sounded like there was a question. Yeah, it sounded like you were unsure. Yeah, you're like, it's good. Really good.
Like, because, like, I think Left 4 Dead's a dumpster fire. It's a butt game for butt people.
rat people.
Oh, nice. Yeah, right. Hello. Rat. It's a rat game for rat people.
Be nice to people with butt chins.
Butt chins are
like,
gross.
You know when
though.
They have like a little indentation, yeah. It makes it look like a butt.
I remember the first time I saw a butt chin. I think it was the third Matrix movie. Like the commander of the human forces, had a butt chin, and I was like, "What's wrong with him?" And my older brother was like, "He has a butt chin." I'm like, "Ha ha! He has a butt in his face."
You know, all I can think about is. Greg, I'm pretty sure you watched One Punch Man, right? And Deanna, I don't think you did.
I watched one episode.
You know, that's all you need to see, that guy in the first episode.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, but...
Who had a literal butt.
Or the yokai that's a little ass.
The fucking stains are just marveling at it for a few seconds. Like, that is the buttiest chin I think I've ever... Fucking scene. That's this whole time we've been talking about it. That's all I can think of.
Speaking of anime, everyone should watch Mob Psycho 100 because it's fucking incredible.
And you know what else you should watch this season? Yuri on Ice.
Yeah. It's
and Ajin season 2 if you haven't.
Yeah,
already
but no
watched.
One can understand all these names.
Fucking Ajin is just A J I N. It's just that simple.
Ajin.
And Yuri on Ice.
A J E A N, like American blue jeans.
Okay, well,
put on. Can I get a hamburger?
Real
a hamburger. I'm from Oklahoma.
You know what? No. See, you're doing it wrong because we don't say you want a hamburger. We say you want a Sonic burger.
Sonics are everywhere.
Every Dunkin' Donuts in Massachusetts, there is a Sonic in Oklahoma. It's because headquarters is in downtown. I've been there. It's the biggest Sonic that you can eat inside.
I passed Dunkin' Donuts headquarters on my way to IKEA whenever
you know, well,
I go there.
Look at that.
And it's actually pretty great.
So it's like, I feel like our greeting toward each other is, what do you want at Sonic? But
is that your mating call in Oklahoma?
I'll buy you something at Sonic! But no, real talk, Ajin season 1 is on Netflix, and season 2 is currently airing. I know the animation is really ugly and 3D and gross, but please look past it. It's great, and Yuri on Ice is also wonderful, and not in 3D, but wonderful.
All right, back to Warhammer Bad Rats.
Yes.
We
got really off track, I'm sorry.
So, like I said, it's Left 4 Dead with a melee focus, so you're more in there, you know?
Woo!
So it's like, I play as a guy who wields a Warhammer. And they blunder.
Roll credits.
So I just go while I'm screaming, clubbing like 100 rats at a time. Not 100, it's more like 8. But there's like 100 behind them.
You're clubbing them, or are you at least buying them drinks?
No. I'm very
hilarious.
Rude.
I'm hilarious.
I'm very rude.
Deanna's like
with rats.
Deanna's like quietly, like subtly dancing.
I want to quietly, subtly dance in my chair more often. I should be braver about it.
Yes.
Loudly dances in chair.
Loudly, it's just like.
I hate like.
That's gonna be the .5 episode this week. We're all just gonna dance in our chair.
Chair dancing ASMR.
It's just three minutes of just like chairs.
It's going to be the same 3 minutes repeated for like 20 minutes. We're going to tell everybody it's a .5. There's going to be like an ad halfway through.
For Audible.
For Audible. And then another one at the end for Crunchyroll.
We got
where you can watch Yuri on Ice. Crunchyroll. Hey,
you know where you can
business.
Watch everything for free forever? Kiss Anime.
You got to support the official release.
Yeah,
Visit crunchyroll.com/lifecast for your
10%. No, stop! Crunchyroll, we want to be sponsored!
Give us money, we love you! Like, half of us have membership.
Like I said, Bad Rats.
Yeah, Bad Rats.
So you got a whole bunch of...
Why are we going from bad rats to anime?
Because it's the same thing. All right, so you got like a mage, you got like a rogue with a bow and like two swords.
Yeah.
You got like...
You got the Bloodborne with the Warhammer and the Blunderbuss.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's the only thing and a whole bunch of other like just warrior type dudes. They have similar play styles. Doesn't matter. So you're just in there, you're fighting things. And the level design... Like, I just got to bring this up. This is the only real thing I'm going to compliment. Level design is real clean. It's very, like, you wouldn't think it would matter in these types of games, but, like, there's something about, like, you keep moving forward and you're taking branching paths. These branching paths always continue to leave you forward towards the end goal.
Right.
So it's like you're exploring and you're always moving towards the destination at the same time.
I appreciate that. I'm like,
that's brilliant.
Because that's my problem with open world stuff.
Yeah.
It's like you never feel like you're going to a place. Maybe I'll steam share it off of you and see how I like it.
You know, who was it? Greg, was it you? I was talking to someone about open world games the other day and how I was saying that, like...
Their butt.
Yeah, you know, pretty much that. It's like, they're only, in my opinion, in my humble opinion...
In your humble onion.
In my humble onion... When they're done well, they tend to be done really well.
Yeah.
But in this last couple years, generation of gaming or so, there's been just this ridiculous glut of open world games. And I feel like it's just the trend right now to just make your game open world. And like for some games, it works. But for way more of the games than not, it just, there's no reason to...
Yeah.
It doesn't feel like it needs to be open world. And I just feel like it was just something they did so they could just slap that on the cover
or
something that it's an open world game. And I'm just like, I'm so sick of it. I'm like,
real talk,
there's nothing wrong with linearity if that's how your game needs to be made.
Yeah. Real talk, though, I'm really worried about the new Legend of Zelda being an open world game.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because, you know, the plot generally... The Legend of Zelda games are very story-based.
And the 3D ones.
The 3D ones, yeah. And I don't know how that's going to lend itself to it.
Yeah, exactly. But I feel like Legend of Zelda, though, is one of those franchises that, in the right hands, could potentially pull it off.
Yeah.
But it's like Final Fantasy XV, for example. I haven't played it, but it's, you know, based on what I have seen. Like, it is an open world game, and based on what I've seen, and based on the fact that I've played a fuck ton of Final Fantasy... It's a JRPG series, and you know what JRPGs are? Linear!
Very linear.
Very fucking linear, like, especially Final Fantasy games.
Hey, so man, Xenoblade Chronicles is a really good open world JRPG.
Well, okay, I haven't played Xenoworlds, but...
Xenoworld! It's Xenoblade. The theme park opening Xenoblade. In Japan this weekend!
I haven't played Xenoblade, so I can't really speak on its behalf.
I love Xenoblade.
But, like, for Final Fantasy games... They're so linear. Like, Square Enix in general, their games are so linear. And I don't want to say they're all good, but I've played more good Square Enix games than not.
Yes, that is fair to say.
But, you know, the point is, I don't like the idea of an open world Final Fantasy.
It's because no one
understands. Sit right with
me. No one understands how to, like, not no one, but most people don't understand how to actually craft an open world.
Exactly.
Now, it's the same thing with, like, every time a new movie comes out, it's like, remember that Inception came out? And it went, blah, blah. And then for the next 10 years, we've had every fucking movie soundtrack go, blah. It's the same shit. Yeah. People like, borrow.
Oh, my God. It has actually almost been 10 years since Inception, hasn't it?
Oh, my God.
Yeah, I think so.
It's been 6.
Has it?
7?
I don't know.
Oh my God. It came out in 2009, right?
I never saw Inception. I remember it came out when I was in high school.
The only thing I remember was everyone hyping up to be like, oh, I didn't understand it. Where in each dream landscape, there were 3 distinct settings to set them all apart.
Yeah,
it's like, are you fucking stupid?
Yeah, that's when lots of, like, movie stuff was when I learned that everyone at my high school is dumb. College is much better, where it's like, oh, these people actually, like, they're not completely stupid. There are some dumbs in here, but it's like, generally, the intelligence level of people going here are much higher than my high school.
Yeah.
I remember watching basic-ass movies, like, simple, like, romantic comedies, and these niggas would be like, how did we get here from them? Like, they just said it. Regardless, okay, dumb people take ideas from smart people because they want to be smart, and then actually sit there and try to understand why these ideas work in, say, that game versus something else. For example, you can have a linear game feel, like, because the reason people make open-world games, or the reason, like, the dream of it wanting to work is to sort of have player agency.
Yeah.
So what you do, what games have done in the past is you would have a linear game that has like slight branching paths that still rewards you for that feeling of player agency and exploration, but it's still a very linear game. For example, let's take the most brilliant game of all time.
BioShock?
Yes, BioShock is a great one, but I can't remember a specific example, so I will go to my... I'll go to my...
I wonder what game you're going to talk about, Dark Souls! Dark Souls, oh my god!
Alright, so Dark Souls. But brilliant thing about early level design in Dark Souls. Dark Souls, you're going through your straight narrow path. Oh, you explore a bit. Oh, look, here's a secret. You go through that secret path. It brings you back to where you were.
Yeah.
It loops around and brings you back to where you started. So that way, you always feel like you're moving forward. And these open world games, all it's like, oh, if I go there, then I have to walk my ass back all the way over there and do nothing because I already cleared this area out. And you're just like, walking like, bitch, and walking.
I don't want to walk in real life. Why would I want to walk in a video game? Yeah,
and then it's just like, oh, man.
That's my complaint.
Dude, let me tell you another game that does that exact same thing really well. Fucking the Dot Hack series. Because, like, the way it works in Dot Hack is, like, you know, it's a game in an MMO. Like, it's an MMO. The game takes place in an MMO.
And you die in the game, you die for real.
But long story short, it's like, you know, it has an overworld, but, like, if you want to grind or do a side quest or something, like, you can go to other areas in the game. Like, it's divided by, like, these keywords that you can literally mix and match. And you can make, like, for every combination of words you can get, you can make a new little overworld and, like, you know, just use it to grind places out, you know, maybe find rare items. But you don't have to. You can explore if you want to. You know, you're definitely going to be at a higher level and find better items if you do that. But you don't have to. But, like, if you want the game to be just linear as fuck and you just want to go in one straight direction, you can. But if you want to, you know, take a minute and breathe, do a side quest, maybe look around the world for a bit, find some rare items, do some collecting, you can do that too.
Yeah.
For every combination of words you can make, there's a new world, so there's just... I love it. I love Dot Hack. I don't know if y'all knew it, but...
Yeah.
But yeah. We should get to our question that we had this week. So we can
finish up this podcast. What a great place to end it.
yeah, this came from Colin on Twitter. What is your personal favorite vocal performance in a video game? Could be a main character, villain, NPC, celebrity, etc. We didn't have any questions on Facebook.
I'm going to say, like, as a whole, just because this is really fresh in my mind because I was just talking about Dot Hack. If you want to talk about having, like, a star-studded cast, let me tell you motherfuckers about Dot Hack GU and how there's... like, not a single bad voice actor in Dot Hack GU. Everybody is brilliant, and it just... So the main character is voiced by Yuri Lowenthal, but he's also... the main character is also Discount Sasuke, so you know he works.
He literally has the same haircut.
He does. So it's like, you know... so, you know, Yuri Lowenthal, I feel like he gets typecast a lot, but yeah, it's one of the... unfortunately, because he's really talented, but... it's a role that fits into that typecast, so it's like, you know, he can do it.
Mm-hmm.
You got Liam O'Brien, who's one of my all-time favorite voice actors, dude, and he's on Critical Role.
Yeah, he is.
His voice, like, I think he might actually have my favorite voice.
He's really high up. Honestly, like... he was my favorite for a very long time until I discovered Ian Sinclair.
All right. You know, that's fair.
Yeah, but Liam O'Brien is definitely still very high up there for me, probably my second favorite, but... Yeah, you got Liam O'Brien as my favorite character entrance. This was actually the game that made me really look into him and see, oh, wow, he's done more than this guy in Dot Hack and Gaara. That's incredible. but yeah, you got Liam O'Brien in there. Fucking, what's his face? The guy who voices Teddy in Persona 4. He's in there. And it's, there's not a bad voice actor in Dot Hack GU. And it's just like, when you play it, you're like, oh, that's why there was no advertising budget for this game. Right. They spent it all on having good voice actors. But at the same time, I mean, look at Kingdom Hearts. When your game has bad voice actors, especially in a JRPG where everybody has to talk a lot, like, people are going to know.
Yeah, there are
people are going to know.
I guess I'd have to say, honestly, since we were talking about BioShock, I can't think of any other game, aside from, like, Matt Mercer as McCree, because I'm wildly in love with Matt Mercer.
We love you, Matt.
Honestly.
We all have a crush on you.
Literally all of us.
Please love us back.
I would have to say the Atlas-Ryan duo in BioShock.
For voices?
Yeah.
Ryan, okay, who the fuck voices Ryan?
I don't know the voice actors, but, like, they did such a good job. Like, I don't know if it was the same person. If it was, I fucking love you.
Whoever did the voice of Atlas... it's been almost 10 years. Can I spoil this? Well, long story short, he has... I won't spoil it, just in case, but...
yeah, he has a lot of range. Just came out, so...
he has a lot of range in his voice.
Yes, he does.
Yeah. So he has a lot of... A lot of scale there. Yeah. I respect that.
The voice acting in BioShock, just from, like, the tapes, made me much more immersed in the story.
Yeah. Now that you mention it.
Not a bad voice actor in BioShock. Not a single one.
Yeah. So, I'm gonna have to give it to BioShock, like, as a whole.
And you know what? I accept that. I know.
We take those.
And the actual best choice for best voice acting category goes to... It's actually The Last of Us. The Last of Us's vocal performances, or just performances in general, because that's when they started to go into the vocal caps. Most of it was mo-capped at the same time as well. And it was just... There are just, like... It's literally just like acting in that game. Yeah. There are literal scenes where just the way they say something, just the subtlety in their performances is fucking brilliant.
The year is 2016 and I've never played The Last of Us.
I recommend it.
If you can't get your hands on a PS3 copy...
Edit it out.
Watch Cryotic play it on YouTube. Because he's one of the Let's Players that I'd recommend to anybody because he's not invasive on the story.
Oh, no, I know who he is.
Okay, good.
It's very sad.
He's my first and favorite. Yeah.
I know him because, like, I see a lot of people shipping him in PewDiePie. But I know
we cannot go to that part of the internet. It's fine. We don't have to go there.
But,
we can pretend it doesn't exist.
Yeah. I like to pretend it doesn't exist. A couple shout-outs I'd like to make.
I wish I could forget.
Yeah. A couple shout-outs, though, like, that also come to mind for Best Voice Actor. I just had it in my head.
Well, while you think of it,
Leonard Nimoy in Kingdom Hearts. As I love.
Wait, he was in Kingdom Hearts.
He was the voice of Xehanort.
Xehanort.
Old Ansem.
Everyone's Xehanort. Excuse you.
He's Xehanort. You're Xehanort. You're Xehanort. I'm Xehanort. Are there any more Xehanorts I should know about? No, wait, no. Fucking Zigbar coming out of the corner.
Which one's Xehanort? Is that the human?
Xehanort is the,
he's everyone's
the
nobody,
old man.
Right?
The original.
Oh, the blonde Ansem.
No. The old one, the really old one with the flashy costume who looks like he just stepped right out of the 80s. Did you play Birth by Sleep?
No.
Oh, fucking, I'll show you.
I know the name Xehanort, though.
Because everybody's Xehanort.
Xehanort's Heartless, that's the one who they thought was Ansem. Xehanort is the assistant to Ansem, right?
That's one of his names, but I'm talking specifically.
Fuck this game, alright? I knew who Xehanort was at some point. He's not that guy anymore.
I'm talking specifically of old man Xehanort.
We'll show you after the podcast.
Oh, is he the bald one with the chin strap?
Yes,
the chin strap.
Yes.
Okay. Oh my god.
That was voiced by Leonard Nimoy, also known as one of the two good voice actors in Kingdom Hearts. The other one being Quentin Flynn, who I also love.
Yeah.
Who does he play?
Axel. I love Quentin Flynn. I got to meet him a few years ago, and I love him. But seriously, though, Leonard Nimoy as...
I mean, you forgot Goofy and Donald.
You also forgot Travis Willingham as Roy Mustang in the American Double.
You know what?
That's
you
an anime.
Shut up.
He might have reprised as one of the games. It's probably worse.
Leonard Nimoy, though, in Kingdom Hearts. Shout out to him for being one of the two good voice actors.
Shout out to just Leonard Nimoy for existing.
Yeah, honestly, shout out to Leonard Nimoy for just being among us in general. Not anymore, but I love you, Leonard.
All right, speaking of more games.
Bloodborne!
Yes.
Bloodborne's voice acting is very good.
It's...
With the few lines it has, I enjoy it.
Those were very well-acted grunts.
They're fine, but you know what has better voice acting? Every other Souls game. All right, so let's talk about Dark Souls 2. Dark Souls 2 has this old, decrepit, hollow lady known as Malentia.
We'll end on this.
Malentia.
Yeah.
She, like, just... Like, I don't know if we could link to it. Like, I didn't notice it until I played the PC version of Dark Souls 2, where I had headphones on and it was playing it really loud. She has this really throaty laugh that is the most disgusting thing I've ever heard.
Same.
I don't even want to, like, pretend to try to do it because I know I can't. But it's like, she's just like, she has like the...
What's her name?
Malentia.
How do you spell
Malentia? M-E-L-E-N-T-I-A.
Yeah.
And then it just like Greg, she makes this sound with her throat that is so fucking disgusting.
Did you write the Dark maybe Souls?
Maybe I'll close.
Did I write the Dark Souls wiki?
I feel sometimes no. like you wrote the Dark Souls wiki.
That. No, I also also shout out to the Crestfallen Warrior. He's in like three of the Souls games, and he's just always cursing.
But yeah, if you have played any of the games we mentioned, or enjoy voice actors in general, please educate yourself about the voice actors strike that's still going on.
Absolutely, please.
Go to sagaftra.org. There should be a PDF somewhere on that website with their intent to strike and everything. Yeah. And give them your support. Yeah. Because they more than deserve it.
Yeah, the bottom line of this whole strike is that we are in this wonderful day and age where video games, especially AAA titles, are starting to make just as much, and in some cases more, than a lot of major movies. And yet, these voice actors, like even the top paid voice actors, still don't make much more than some of the lowest paid actors in some of these movies. And it's just a really fucked up situation. And especially now that video games are really coming to the forefront of, you know, media and entertainment.
Yeah.
Like, to the point where they are making more than movies, like, these actors should be getting paid accordingly. Yeah. And the fact of the matter is, they're just not.
Yeah, they should definitely be getting paid more than they are. Absolutely. I don't know if they should be getting as paid as much as they'd like to, because as much as I love, like,
nobody's
the performances
getting paid as much as they'd like to. Yeah, let's be real.
I don't know. So, I don't care too much about money. It gets me from A to B. That's all I really need. It's like a car, you know? I don't have any particular, like, attachments to my car. It's more so, like, money is a vehicle I use to get from A to B. It's like a tool. Yeah. You know? That's what money is for.
That is the best thing to keep in mind when money is involved. Yeah. It's a tool.
Yeah. But like,
it's a tool to put food on my table.
Yeah, goddamn right.
I didn't mention this last week when we were talking about the strike, or 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
And it was like, it's hard to determine what exactly made the game successful. Like, in Last of Us, hell yeah, those guys should get royalties for that game. But like, say Dark Souls is like, as much as I love Malentia's disgusting laugh, it's hard to argue, and that's the important thing. It's hard to argue that their performances like really elevated the game.
But if the game is dialogue heavy, which
a
most
lot of
games are. Then voice actors should be making
everyone should just get paid a little bit more, because holy shit, they're not getting paid anything.
Yeah,
but the royalties thing is like the hard pill to swallow, where it's like, I don't know. You really have to like, I feel like that should be like on a, if you're working for Naughty Dog, then, you know, you get your royalties. But almost every other game, it's hard to really argue that point.
Yeah. Anyway. So if you would like to go more, like if you would like to know more, go to SAG-AFTRA. The PDF is there, and then there should be like Facebook groups and things. And if you Google, I'll probably link to a couple of sources at the end of this podcast. Of like the voice actors leading the strike.
Yeah.
But this is an important thing that's happening.
Yeah.
Yeah. And as listeners, I want you to be well informed. I want you to be my smart little babies. Adopted children.
Little Babs.
I want to be your fairy squad mother. And I want you to know about current events that are happening in the video games industry. So with that, this has been the Lifecast. Thank you all for listening, and we'll see you next week.
Goodbye, peace. Little Bye. Babs.
Thank you kindly.